The beer of, you did what? Come again?
It's the beer of summertime, don't you know?
Don't you know? Which beer, yeah, is, man. Which
beer
is that?
Of summer.
Brava!
Oh, okay. Brava. I got the habit of muting you guys until like the last second so that we can actually, the sound effects of all the lead-ins were playing over all the awesome commentary. Hello, and welcome to Dicewise Entertainment Presents the Age of Ashes live show. We are streaming to www.twitch.tv/GM's Cut live every Friday night. We will be, from now on, streaming this show live every other Friday, double headers. And the second show that we do in the evening will be uploaded to YouTube and podcast audience on the second week. So you out there, if you can't make the show live and get a double dose every 2 weeks, you will enjoy our show every single week from this point on. This we can do. Next up, we have some microphone upgrades in the wind. We'll be getting to those hopefully very, very soon. A couple changes of pace. Hopefully things will work out for that. The RTX sound cancellation software, the app, is a big thing right now. It's huge. My wife uses it on her computer, and I heard a rumor on Discord that there is a way to use it through your GPU on a regular computer without needing the NVIDIA card. Could you guys possibly endorse, deny that?
I'll look into it.
Okay.
It's best I can do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on upgrading.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's hopefully something I can get into. And then I won't have to shut off the AC in the summer and the heat in the winter with the fans blowing, which is corrupting audio in the basement. What open space type of thing. Hello, everyone. This is the Elven Portal podcast for audio only, but it is also a live show that is sponsored on Fantasy Grounds by Fantasy Grounds and Devon Knight Minis. Drawing your attention to the board now, we have some lovely minis. Let's go around the board. First of all, I found an official Devon Knight mini that looks like our captor, Vaz. Pointy little ears, green robes, long white hair. I was so amazed. Sleeves that, you know, Matt thinks are magical and he's trying to get his hands on there, on the board.
Wouldn't that be prisoner, not captor?
Captive?
Yeah, that's the substitute.
Well, who is tricked too? Who is in prison too? We shall see. A little reverse psychology. Speaking of being captive in his own skin, I noticed a brand new picture that Ryan Messina had for, I want to say, Myrtos, the anvil bender. Oh, God. I've worked 17 days in a row, and I had today off. And I
Myrtos,
the fresh maker, the anvil bender, the chest hair wearer, played by Ryan Messina, is in the house tonight.
Hey, everybody. Let's have some fun tonight. Some flurries are coming, I sense.
And everyone else's supporting cast. No. his loyal sidekick, or is it the other way around? Matt Witt is in the house playing the cheerful. I really can't say that you're ever surly. I'd like to say surly sorcerer really fast three times, but you're pretty cheerful.
If I was surly, it'd affect my charisma.
Elbeck Stonechucker is in the house. Frank's on his way. He's the man with the axe. Kicks open doors. The inventor of dwarven stealth. So let's talk to our resident rules lawyer, Joe Gibson, who can say yay or nay to the comments in the live stream.
Oh, I guess I should look at them.
Well, you're the first person that's going to debate them. Do you know that we are now the live stream of Four Kings? We have four people that usually visit us on Friday and Monday nights that have King in their names. So we have the Four Kings, as it were. That was kind of neat. Huh. Yeah. And not only are our rules lawyers, but we hope that you are with us tonight, watching, listening, and enjoying. Leave a comment, say hello, shoot us an email at rolemongers@gmail.com. Tell us what your favorite show is, because we would like to focus not just on the numbers, but on what you want to see, what you want to hear. I mean, obviously, the numbers do tell us a lot if one show is getting... I can't believe I'm saying this. Our YouTube video for episode one of our very first, in my opinion, botched live stream attempt has 11,000 views, and the first four episodes are up to 1,000 each. So thank you very much for one out of 11 staying with us to check out a few more hours as we fumble through the rules, learn Fantasy Grounds. I mean, it's a pretty steep slope. We're learning a brand new rule set. We're learning a brand new game platform. So all we can honestly promise you is good time and chemistry among friends and a few people that we've roped and talked and not really paying into doing this. Joe Gibson's in the house tonight.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Now, Joe is a close personal friend of mine and someone that I asked later after 2 or 3 years, We were up for about 2 or 3 years before you came out of the woodwork. And if it wasn't for Mr. Gibson tonight being our first rules lawyer, now we've adopted several, I'd not be able to do this. And if it wasn't for guys like Matt Witt and Ryan Messina and Frank Hamilton staying by us, keeping with us, no matter what we've thrown at them. So not just to you, the listener, I want to thank the cast, especially in these difficult times where America's got nuts. Gone nuts, and Canada is holding its breath, waiting to see what they do makes happen to us. Does that make sense?
Someone.
So, getting back to what's relevant, we have another tunnel montage, another really long, because for some reason, like, all the dungeons in this game are connected, but they're all like miles apart. Why they have you trek out of town for some relevant Goblin War outpost? Oh, because it's way out here, just to stick another tunnel that's going to track you all the way back 11 miles. And it's either under Breach Hill, under Citadel Eldarain, or perhaps a brand new location, but another endless long winding tunnel. You guys have brought Vaz with you, and she is manacled with hands in the front or the back. How are we doing this here? I want to know what my options are.
I would think that originally we might have gone front, but after that last little display where she took off into the bushes, we might have moved the bonds to being behind the back. I don't know. That's up to the group.
I would concur. Yeah. Yeah. And I would even say we probably grab some rope out of our pack and tied her off.
Give her a leash. Give her a leash.
Apron strings.
Yep. For her protection, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Is that to go along with those waxed eyebrows that you had for her comfort or discomfort? I was listening back to the last couple episodes trying to stay relevant. Well, everything's going on, and all I hear is you guys playing and me bursting out laughing because I have such a good time playing with you guys. And we hope you, the audience, do as well. So we are using not the XP, but we are using the hero point system, and we are using the milestone level advancement system. So what this does, in my opinion, I think it's good because it keeps the party from that temptation of just murder hoboing everything. Like, sure, they'll search every corner room for treasure, but they won't just kill every last thing just to take the XP. Now, to Pathfinder's credit, in the modern go of things here, there is XP to be had for negotiating and, you know, leaving something alive and getting the XP as if you had defeated it by tricking this person or outwitting this person or cutting them loose because it's a good thing to do, so that even murder hobos and saints alike get the same or relatively same amount of XP. In the milestone system, they use a story arc. When the PCs get to a certain revelation, a certain point in the story, they decide that this dungeon, the next dungeon, this encounter, next encounter is going to get a little harder. The PCs should be a certain level. I'm assuming they thought you guys would go back to town at this point, you know, bring Vaz in, do a bunch of more role playing or whatever, not necessarily push on down the long, dark tunnel.
Yeah, well, so they didn't anticipate the trio of dwarves and the one honorary dwarf.
Our honorary dwarf. Yeah. Well, I got to say, a montage of a very long trek, and Niles 4.0, because he's leveled, that beard's coming in. So
it's no longer just stubble.
Let's start with our honorary dwarf, Niles, the cleric of good time drinking, human ascended, godlike worship. It's big CC, I like to call him. Cain Clever. Yeah,
that's a lot easier for you.
Yep. I'm so tired. Meh. Calm is fun. Tonight it's going to be brutal, but the show must go on. So tell us about what you get right from scratch. At level 4, stats used to go up. Do they go up now?
No, that's at level 5. Yeah,
okay.
Next level.
Okay. No, that's good. This is stuff we need to know. Hit points going up?
Depending on what you do. If you stay with your class, you switch classes. All depends on what you're.
Okay. So what did you do?
I am now, under the old terminology, would be multi-classing. under the new terminology is taking an archetype.
Okay.
And I have to say, out of all the game systems I've played, this one, Pathfinder 2.0, has to be the best multi-class system I've ever come up with.
Really?
Reason? Hear. I agree.
Second that opinion.
When you level up to get a class, depending on your level and depending on your ability requirements, you're allowed archetype.
So those are, let's talk about character feats versus class feats. Class feats are like second, fourth, sixth level. Character feats are like 1, 3, 5 kind of thing.
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay.
So with your class feats, they improve every level. So if you stay on your main path, like say you want to be a, like myself, you want to be a cleric until you're level 20, then you can become a godlike character with the class feats. But if you choose to multi-class, then you lose your class feat, but you gain an archetype. So I took sorcerer.
Oh.
So now I'm a cleric sorcerer.
See, I want to say like the training next to our current sorcerer, like a montage of like apprenticeship, but sorcery is something that kind of awakens within you.
Yes.
So now I'm thinking like in the middle of the night, you're spending special time with our sorcerer and he's awoken something in you.
No, because when you take sorcerer, you get to take your heritage, where your sorcery abilities come from.
Ah.
So I went through the list. And to stay relevant with game, I took undead. The reason is because I was downed by an undead. It's the only thing that's actually downed my character. I didn't die from it.
On death's door, like on death's door. Struck a mortal blow, they brought you back. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the only one that I could find that fit within our campaign that we've done so far. It's a little dark and dreary, but...
No. I love the fact if you guys... you may have an idea for what you want to do, but your experiences shaping the character, I think that's brilliant. I really like that. All eyes
on you. Yeah, it's just something, because it's a new system, and instead of doing what I would normally do with the character, is that I have it planned out, you know, level 1 to level 20. Yep. Everything's already mapped out. This one, I haven't really done it that much. Just to keep it open, and then just to see, hey, look, I went up a level, I'm going to try this.
Well, you said Niles was young, impressionable, and felt drawn to the dwarves for whatever holy or personal reason, and now you've inserted some dwarven heritage into your human ancestry, and these guys are certainly starting to rub off on you. You know, maybe, I did hear you do a Scottish accent once, I think it was like episode 4.
That's probably because I had too much.
Too much ale. Comes out of you.
A little bit of your ancestry came forward.
We call that just enough to get started.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all in the genetics. It's all. Yeah.
There you go.
But to speed things along, with the multi-classing ability they came out with is just phenomenal. Like, there's no math to it. There's no nothing. Just, okay, I meet the requirements. I'm going to take this. And then every 2 levels, I get to add either a normal class feat from my original class, or I get to improve my multi a little bit at it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because you still stay on the path of your original class.
Yeah, that's the gross part.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, I'm now a 4th level character, so I'm, for my spell capacity, I'm still casting spells as a...
So I have sorcery now. What level is the sorcery at? Are you a 4th level sorcerer caster? Do you suddenly get, like, all the spells he does?
No, I am below a 1st level caster right now.
Because your proficiency of casting, right?
In 2 levels, when I get, if I survive on a long enough, I get another class, then I can take an archetype feat to boost up my spell casting.
Which is essentially level.
Yeah. But it gets really gross really quick.
It's definitely a slow road, but you're saying there's an exponential effect where it just...
It's even better than the old
multi-classing
way.
Multiclassing doesn't put you like a step behind everybody else for like your CL, essentially. Yeah. Like,
yes.
It maintains your power level on par with everybody else, but you sacrifice a feat for your main, open up the do your
archetype. So do you have any like 0 level cantrips available to you?
Yes, 2.
And you are casting them as if you are a 4th level caster?
I'm casting them as, because sorcery, but with sorcery, it's a little different because based on your heritage is based on your spell casting.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't take a divine heritage because it would have crossed over so well. Oh, it is divine. Oh, okay.
Okay. So,
shut your mouth.
So what Matt is saying, if you were a 3rd level cleric and became 1st level sorcerer, you'd be caster 3 for one, caster 1 for the other. That's what Matt's saying, is you're still a 4th level cleric caster because it's a feat insert like the old archetype.
Yeah. It seems to me that the spells aren't as level dependent as we're accustomed to in 1st edition.
Yeah. Very
so
much
that the old way of thinking, you really need to purge out of your head that Fireball, for instance, isn't level dependent. You can heighten it, but there's no more like 1d6 per level.
Okay. Yeah. So getting back to your actual character sheet here, Joe, what has been added, I guess, is the easiest way to go step by step here.
Okay. Well, we'll go to the way you, since we already talked about my feet, my class feet, I decided to switch the archetype, but then you also, at this level, get a skill feat, which I took, Battle Medicine, which turns my cleric oh so much better.
Oh, yes. No, I remember Cheryl had that for Halfling Cleric. I think, like, out of the gate, it was really good.
But since I am a expert in medicine, the amount I can... Because with battle medicine, I'm now able to treat wounds by using the skill during combat.
Oh, okay.
It's really gross.
So you can wrap a guy with a Band-Aid.
I debated taking that one. I was like, ooh, that's powerful.
That's sexy.
It's so gross. Because, like, right now, my medicine check is at plus 12.
That's funny. It's just like you just throw a roll of gauze at him, and as long as you hit the target, it wraps around his arm.
Yeah, so as long as the target is within my reach, then I can use treat wounds.
Okay, you can't do this at action. Range. You have to be adjacent.
Adjacent.
But you can go tag, and it was like the 2d8, 3d8.
It gets really gross at higher levels because it's based off of the class ability.
Hmm.
When you're an expert, you can try to beat a DC 25, and if you succeed, then you do, based on your success roll, is 2d8 or 4d8 plus 10.
Well, that's sexy. Oh, yeah, that's really nice. Now, out of curiosity, if you were to take a familiar, there's a feat that allows you to convert or to do touch spells through your...
Yeah.
Would you...
It's a skill check, though, right?
Yeah. Well, but there's another feat that allows you...
To do skill checks through your familiar?
Yeah, so I don't know if it would cross over, but
I'd have to look more.
Can you imagine having a little mini medic?
Mini me.
You just take your familiar and you shove it in Frank's pocket. Stay with him.
But yeah, so that's pretty much what I've done. So
okay, what about skills going up or adding more skills, adding skill training, leveling them from trained to expert, anything like that going on?
Just my medicine is now expert.
So what is the option fourth? Just to add one or increase one step?
One step.
And does it have to be one of your class skills, or could you branch out and suddenly take deception or something?
Nope. You get your skill increase, and then next level, you get to add along with all your... And you have to be a certain level to get to keep going up, to increase from expert to master to... But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
So for my cantrips... of my sorcerer stack, I have Ray of Frost and Electric Arc added to my
DPS route.
Yes.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, sticking with the casting vein, Joe, if you're done your reveal,
I am done.
Okay. let's move on to Matt talking about Albrecht Stonechucker.
Oh, it was a big level for me. Big level.
Okay.
So I took for my class feat Arcane Evolution. And I thought this played in well to the storyline because I just stole a spell book from Fox, and what Arcane Evolution does is it gives you it does two things. The first one is incredibly powerful. So your arcane legacy grants you an exceptional aptitude for intellectual and academic pursuits. You become trained in one skill of your choice. So I took deception because it plays into my charisma, and additionally, you keep a book of arcane spells similar to a wizard spellbook. You add all the spells in your spell repertoire to this book for free, and you can add additional arcane spells to the book by paying the appropriate cost and using your arcana skill similarly to how a wizard can learn spells to add those spells to a spellbook. During your daily preparations, choose any one spell from your book of arcane spells. If it isn't in your spell repertoire, add it to your repertoire until the next time you prepare. If it's already in your repertoire, add it as an additional signature spell for that day. So that means I can have two signature spells.
Dude.
Add it as or add it as your?
Add it as an additional signature spell for that day.
Just checking. Okay.
So gross.
That also, on level, I also gained an additional known spell for my second level spells. So I took Illusory Creature.
Hey, guys.
How's it going, buddy?
Good.
So Illusory Creature is an amazing spell, and I took it mainly for the tactical advantage that it's going to give. How it works is you create an illusory image of a large or smaller creature. It generates the appropriate sounds, smells, and feels believable to the touch. If you and the image are ever farther than 500 feet apart, the spell ends. So I can cast this spell anywhere within 500 feet. The image can't speak, but I can use my action to speak through it with the spell, disguising my voice as appropriate. On GM's discretion, you may need to attempt a deception or performance check to mimic the creature, as this is especially likely if you're trying to imitate a specific person and engage with someone that person knows. So it's almost as cool as disguise, but it's like magical disguise.
Okay.
In combat, the illusion can use two actions per turn, which it uses when you sustain the spell. It uses your spell attack roll for attack rolls and your spell DC for its AC. This is a tangible thing. Okay, so I can attack with it and it can be attacked. If it gets hit or fails a save for an ability done against it, the spell ends. Its saving throw modifiers are equal to your spell DC minus 10. And it is substantial enough that it can flank other creatures. This is the main reason I took the spell, because if one of our melee guys is having a hard time, I can pop an ally behind the monster as long as it's within 500 feet. And all of a sudden that monster is flanked. The illusion can cause damage by making the target believe the attacks are real, but it cannot otherwise directly affect the physical world. If the illusory creature is hits with a strike, the target takes mental damage equal to 1d4 plus your spellcasting modifier. This is a mental effect.
Oh, it takes damage. It's just typoed differently.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so sick.
So the illusion strikes are non-lethal. If the damage doesn't correspond to the image of the monster, for example, if an illusory large dragon deals only 5 damage, at DM's discretion, you may allow the target to attempt a perception check to disbelieve the spell as a free action. Any relevant resistances and weaknesses apply if the targets think they do, as judged by the GM. For example, if the illusion wields a warhammer and attacks a creature resistant to bludgeoning damage, the creature would take less mental damage. However, the illusory damage does not deactivate regeneration or trigger other effects that require certain damage type. And you should track the illusory damage dealt by the illusion. Any creature that touches the image or uses a seek action to examine it can attempt to disbelieve it. When a creature disbelieves it, it recovers from half of the damage it had taken, if any, and doesn't take any further damage from it.
So if this monster that you're flanking turns around and starts razzing your imaginary polar bear.
Right.
Right. It bites me. Oh, I take your metal damage. And then it's like it immediately gets that check to kind of go, I felt real, but.
No, you have to take an action to actually touch. It's not when I attack you. It's when you touch it.
Oh, so and how many actions are you burning? How many?
It's the seek action. So whatever that chevron or action cost is.
Okay. Does there need to be some kind of disbelief factor? Like it wavers or it doesn't act like a polar bear or, you know what I'm saying? Like, does there need to be some kind of, or just as soon as you enact with the illusion?
I think that's up to your discretion. It's kind of implies there's a lot of that. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to be another dwarf.
Well, usually any interaction, you know, your imaginary guy shoots an arrow in you and you go, ow, that really hurt. And then they're walking around and probably any direct interaction, especially something as nasty as damage, probably will trigger.
No, it specifically says touches the image or uses the seek action to examine it.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you have to reach out and touch it or spend the action, the seek action.
Also striking at it might have them go, and burn that last action to go.
Well, if it gets hit,
yeah.
It's gone. So, but if it misses, that doesn't touch, like it gets an AC based off of your,
okay. No, that's your spell DC. Sounds pretty much on par with ye olde illusions. Okay, cool. What else you got?
Okay. So that was one thing. I took it 95% for tactics and 1% for perhaps being able to use it in a skill check situation for like deception and stuff. This is the, you know, magic guards.
Now,
he's going to escort us.
Even though we're getting into this long windedly now, we will break this down in the middle of the action quickly. You know, so people are following along, you know, with what is my new power. And remember, this is how it works. Okay, so what else you got for us?
And I also got a skill feat, and I took the skill feat Quick Identification, which allows me to identify magic items in 1 minute, identify magic in 1 minute or less.
Okay.
So you take only 1 minute when using the Identify Magic to determine the properties of an item, ongoing effect, or location, rather than 10 minutes. If you are a master in whatever skill that you're checking with, it takes a 3-action activity. If you're legendary, it takes 1 action.
It's pretty sick.
Cool.
Oh, and yeah, so I think that's it.
Do you have any new spells you want to share, or you want to wait and reveal
them? That was
them?
The illusory creature.
Okay.
That was my new spell. And I've got a spell book, so I might have a whole bunch of spells.
Oh, I remember. Let's talk about your skills. I remember you talked about speeding up your spell checks, your spellcraft.
Yeah, that was the quick identification skill.
Right. And yeah. Okay. And so you got to look through the book and see what she's got and then start adding it day by day, right? New spell.
And I trained myself up in Arcana for my skill increase.
Hmm. Now, you saw her cast, I think it was Acid Arrow?
Yes, I did.
And obviously she has her own sort of spider climb or fly or something going on, and a couple other things.
It's something I'm going to have to do in my downtime. Like, while we're on the fly, I can't sit there and study a book and work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. You hold around the campfire. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Anything else? You didn't multi-class, so what about hit points?
I did not. I am a sorcerer. My hit points took a good jump because of my constitution score, of course. So I'm now at 42 hit points.
Okay. Niles, what are your hit points? He's looking.
Yes, I'm looking. I'm looking.
Is there anything in armor class, because you're trained in armor class and you're training your armor now, is there any kind of level bonus like we were doing in Star Wars? Is there any kind of uppy-up?
Yep.
Have we reached doing that yet?
Because whenever you're trained, expert, mastered, or legendary, your proficiency is tied to your level.
Right. So of the two,
every level, everything that you're trained or greater than goes up by one.
So just starting with the two characters we just discussed, Niles, Al, have you guys had any increase in AC?
Yeah, one.
Okay. Which is brought you at what?
18.
18 AC, 42 hit points. You know, the meaning of the universe and everything with 42. And you, Niles, you're at what?
And I'm 21 AC and 36 hit points.
Okay.
Nice AC.
Yeah. He's got his little buckler and all that, help give him the wee boost, right?
No, it's a wooden shield buckler.
Let's talk about your familiar.
Yes. Well, because my familiar is, all of the stats for familiars now are based off of you. As you increase in power, so does, there are feats you can take that allow you to train in more abilities. Which reminds me, on a daily basis, I should start stating what abilities I've given my familiar, because there's a pretty cool list.
Well, we're into it. Let's go.
Well, in general, I'm always going to give it fly.
Wait a minute. I don't know. I think we'd have to ask Jackson up his Patreon if he's going to have a flying puppy in his name. There needs to be some sort of,
Well, I can only train him in two things. So I can have him be able to cast orisons. Well,
if he can't fly naturally, you can train him in flying.
It's just an ability. It's because your familiar ceases being, like, normally you're just like summoning a creature and they're like an extra worldly being. So their abilities, you know, don't have to match the type of creature they are in any way, shape, or form. They are their own creature. I just happen to have a ward puppy and thought pretty badass.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you rip out its soul and shove something else inside.
I know. I just gave it the sock and dragged it through the Asmodeus circle back on the surface, and out the other end came something that, you know, little red eyes and can fly around the room, apparently.
If I choose that ability for the day, I can give it swim speed. There's all, like, the list is pretty cool.
Yeah. Can do your taxes or do my laundry.
Well, I can have it speak.
Oh, God.
You know, I can have it cast cantrips. But in general, I'm probably always going to take fly. And what was the other cool? I'll have to look into it again. But yeah.
Actually, you know, if you sent it on a scouting mission, like you got up in the morning and you guys were intending to go scout something, giving it the ability to speak so it could tell you what it saw. Squirrel! You know, it would be really cool. Possibly. Cool. You got any new improvements on the character or Mini-Me?
Nah, that's me. I'm good. Mini-Me is just, you know, my stats went up, so its stats go up.
Okay. No, that's good. Okay. Ryan, it's been dying to talk about this guy.
No, I'm really digging everyone else's stuff. Yeah. I know what I did. I don't know what these guys did.
Well, the main importance is to draw it out because we're buying Frank time. I think he's leveling as we speak for some reason. Didn't get my text a week ago. So,
things came up.
No,
you know, in Pathfinder first edition, it was easy to level.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
It was a busy. It's a busy time for Frank.
It is. I mean, like, I'm in a grocery store. That's frontline, but Frank works in the medical industry, and that's like,
yeah, dude's like right in the trenches.
Yeah, that's like, yeah,
right in there.
My job's 10 times worse. His is 100 times worse.
But if there's something I can actually comment on, what Pathfinder Second Edition has done is that the leveling up system. If you play Pathfinder First Edition, you really almost kind of you have to min max your character to a certain degree to be relevant in all social and combat encounters. Second edition makes it so it doesn't seem as heavily weighted in your choices. You can actually build the character with funds. You can choose options, and there's not really bad options. You can just build your character kind of in the style that you want.
Yeah, they put a little width and breadth on your guy, like with the stats being automatic and not having someone fuss over them so much, the hit point increases and stuff. You know, it takes some of the focus off of the numbers so you don't die and puts it in like, ooh, what can I do with my guy? Where's the flavor? So, Mr. Miros.
Hey, yeah. Well, I'll start off with the fact that I now have 2 fire resist because I'm a forged dwarf.
So a DR2 versus fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can run through a campfire and maybe get away unscathed.
That's an actual dwarven choice for ancestry where he gains damage reduction 1/dash, which means any fire he's exposed to, he'll take 1 point of damage less, and now he's at 2.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Secondly, for my class feat, I took Stand Still, which is basically if an opponent uses a move action within my range, I get an attack of opportunity on them. And if I critical, they don't move.
We talked recently about attack of opportunity, how even in first edition, we buggered it up where somebody goes flying by you and the person would be like, oh, unless you're spellcaster, they would just eat the attack and go on with what they're doing. But if you strike someone with attack of opportunity and they're on their way to strike someone else, that damage was supposed to be a penalty versus the guy's attack roll.
Yeah. It doesn't affect if they use a strike action or an attack action. It is specifically, it's a move action.
So you clothesline them.
Essentially. So the trigger is a creature within your reach uses a move action or leaves a square during a move action it's using.
Okay.
So it's like a pseudo attack of opportunity.
Pseudo, yeah. It's not as verbose in its triggers that a fighter gets, but it is something.
You and your big words. You just step on his ankle.
I try them because I'm not using them later tonight.
Because he's a new dad. Ryan is congratulating. Ryan Messina not only has a little one, he's got another one on the way. So
I have every, even a littler.
Everything is all like, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
I get a permanent excuse currently to just babble in public as long as I have my child around me.
You can just push the stroller. It could have nothing in it.
No one looks twice at you, bud. You get away with it with anything.
So continuing on the journey of a dwarven monk, what else have you got going for you?
Well, I only had a skill feat left to choose, and so I chose Titanic Wrestler.
Mm.
So normally, if you try to use a grapple action, you are restricted to only grappling creatures of your size or one step larger. With Titanic Wrestler, you can go 2 steps larger.
I'm pretty sure I named an episode after that feat. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but every name of every episode in the Elven Portal podcast has a name, and it's actual feats, dwarven feats and regular feats taken out of the core book. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but when you started mixing it up with all the wrestling, I actually threw that one in there going, I wonder if he'll see this and take it. And here we are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, brother. So, yeah. So Titanic Wrestler. So I can grapple creatures that are huge. So remember those Death Tortii that we fought? They're a huge size, weren't they?
Yeah, I think they were like 6 3x3. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a chance because there is a deficit. If you try to grapple a creature that's 1 step larger, it's -2.
I believe they were nicknamed. They're called a grave shell.
Yes. Yes. The grave shells.
Mm. Turtle soup. The goblins made turtle soup out of them. But yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, that's what they're currently called. But if you try to grapple something that's 2 steps larger, it's a -4 to your athletics check.
So for you?
Yeah, it's at a -4.
But you can do it, as opposed to it being illegal.
Yes, which you just wouldn't be able to do it.
So you just run up and grab the kneecap. Try real hard.
It will be some interesting thematics that I'm sure that between you and I will have some fun describing.
Mm, definitely. So let's talk about some of your skill choices, some of your feat choices. Anything else?
Skills, I didn't have the option to make anything better. Everything that I was trained in got 1 point better. Okay. My colleagues had options with their choices that they got to increase their skill breadth, but not I.
Okay.
My hit points, I'm now at a beefy 58.
Now, you hinted about multiclassing yourself. Have we rebuffed that choice, or is it something in the future?
No. That's a long growth. It takes time for this one to happen, but yes, there might be some multiclassing in the future.
Okay, well, it's not revealed now. Just saying just keep an eye and see what rubs up against
him. I'm not ruling it out.
Well, we've already got a sorcerer spooning a cleric, rubbing up against him, changing the cleric's choices in the middle of the night. So we'll just see what happens to you. Hit points, AC, any dirty...
AC, I'm at 20.
Okay. And hit points?
58.
Let's talk about your saving throws.
10, 10, 10.
Oh, Al?
Saving throws, 8, 8, 9.
8, fort, 8, reflex, 9, willpower. The monk is actually capping all 3. That's, well, of course, monk always used to have the best ones around. So, and Niles?
9, 6, and 12.
Okay. Anything?
Very willful.
Anything else you want to add about the actual system or anything you've discovered, Mr. Messina, while you were exploring? Like, there's what you've actually chose, but did you actually discover anything we can talk about in the rule set about leveling at this point, a fourth level or in the...
Once you get your, once you get into it, it's actually really easy to pick it out, because you're pretty much either usually picking out a class feat, a skill feat, usually at the same time, because you get skill feats every even level and you get a class feat every even level. Your class abilities just continually ascend towards demigodhood, untethered, and your ancestry. One thing I did notice is that the dwarves actually only have ancestry feats to go up to level 13, and at level 17 you're supposed to get an ancestry feat, but there's no level 17 dwarf ancestry feat. Interesting.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Interesting.
Let's talk to Piezo and tell them get the ink to the paper here, please.
Which leaves us what Frank would like to do with his character.
Oh, I'm just gonna take another level in fighter.
And as far as, do you have a feat in mind or?
No. I haven't even started reading or leveling anything.
That's good. It's good. We'll leave it as a surprise.
Yeah. And you're welcome to my fourth level dungeon at third. Let's have about time somebody put a pin in you, because you've been bloody, you guys have been unstoppable. Like, even when I was like, I had control of his character and I was just rolling. I was like, I'll just click on his sheet. Here's his axe, right? Plus 12. And they just stood back and watched you like Autobot kill through two rooms. And I'm like, geez, I'm never doing this again. If you were late tonight, I'm like, he's back in the tunnel. He's way back in the tunnel. So,
way back.
So you guys have a prisoner that is, after she tried to escape, is now manacled with her hands behind her back. You gagged her again? Because you guys wanted her to talk and tell you about what she knows, right?
Well, we had a couple of kilometers or miles for her to discuss.
Okay. And you have her on a rope with a leash, with a lead. And who is holding the other end of said lead? Who has this rope?
Who's the slowest person in our party?
Probably Frank in the armor.
Yeah, I'd say Frank.
Probably me.
Sir Theon. And Theon did seem to have a special relationship with her.
Yep. Oh, that's right. You're not getting away from me, Lassie.
I was listening back to last episode and I tried to role play her, like the intimidation glare worked, otherwise she wouldn't have given up any information, but I tried to keep her in character and she was trying to separate her goals from what you guys suspected her being lumped in with the bigger picture, and Theon wasn't having it. He's bad piece, like, you're innocent, or you're one of them and you're in on this and you hired them, and you guys are going yep, and it's like, so I start trying to add some shades of gray and you guys start getting into it, and then once again Theon was like, tug, nope, black and white, let's go. But it was freaking hilarious actually to listen to. So here we are. So Frank, make yourself known, 30-second mic check, and bring up your pretty face.
Well, here I am.
Hey,
that's me, that's me mug, that's me other character, that's not the one I'm playing tonight. Yeah, Theon, level 4 dwarven fighter.
Okay,
and let's do some damage.
All right, now something we can do to show everyone who's just kind of like, oh, what the hell. I am going to apologize, you know, that we're not completely ready, but guys, like, there are so many podcasts that have just shut down because of what's going on in the States and because of COVID worldwide. Like, we are lucky, very, very fortunate to try and keep any of our shows, let alone most of our shows. So we're just happy to be here in any tired, rambling, half-baked state. And we appreciate you still tuning in and listening. You know, I do apologize that we're not on the top of our game, but I still think that an 80%, 90% half-baked show is better than no show, than just kind of going, sorry, you know, two or three of us are too tired or too whatever. No, we really love doing this, even in tired and unprepared state. Don't we, guys?
Honestly, Jeff, the system's way too new for any to be an expert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's people out there who just hammer down on the books and they know all the rules, but, you know, there are nuances that come from time playing.
Yeah.
You know?
No. And like, we just burned a sweet 45 minutes just talking about leveling, which we've had comments and fans saying they actually really enjoy these episodes where you guys dig in and talk about what you did, how you leveled, and the process and the reasons why. And then listing a couple options going, I could have went this way, but I went that way. Because if somebody is in the middle of their human wizard and don't have a dwarven monk in their party or a classic dwarven fighter in the party, they listen to us and they're like, oh, that's really cool. It's almost like they've got another set of gaming buddies, us, to watch and learn from. And, you know,
yeah, this group is totally team Blitzkrieg. It's amazing.
Yeah.
right?
Go.
So what Frank missed, because he just got in, was another very, very long tunnel montage, Mr. Theon. Like, Niall's beard's coming in. He's gotten shorter and stockier with every step. And we run into, just like Voss said, we run into vermin. dead giant centipedes and dead, like, nothing somebody couldn't really handle. They're, you know, they could be dangerous, but at the end of a spear or a decent blade, or if you're an adventurer, they'd give civilians trouble. But a single wizard, or a wizard that could control some undead, these things were slowing them down. And there's bodies, and there's vermin, and like she said, there's piles of it. Wee nasty spider swarms and all this stuff that they've taken care of, and then it just stops. The tracks, her tracks stop. She becomes kind of a perception check. It's noticeable to everyone that the rope slacks up, because now she starts proceeding cautiously. And even though the tunnel looks a little different to you dwarves, she's like watching where she looks, where she steps.
Come on, Eros, hit 12.
Kind of thing.
Perfect.
You know?
Aw.
I'm really sorry, my friend. 22.
She really lets the light in the back, which is Niles, catch up and, like, you know, engulf her more, as opposed to just that edge of the shadow step kind of thing going on. Certainly slows her gait. With perceptions of Theoin?
I got 11.
Okay.
No, 10, excuse me.
She's getting tired, but it is obvious she's slowing her roll.
Yes.
Al?
I got 11.
It was just like, you just looking at the back of her going, I have your spell book. I have
yeah.
Niles?
Can't wait to sit down and look 13. At this one.
She seems to be a little bit more interested in hugging the light than at where she started off, more comfortably at the end of the rope on the very edge. And Miros.
22.
Standing right behind her in our pecking order here. Let me just back off the map. Have you guys found the little wee corner of the map with everybody on it?
No.
Okay. Scroll, zoom in, go bottom left.
Or go to your character sheet and double click your character icon in the top right hand corner.
Hooray!
I keep forgetting about that. Thank you.
No worries. Here to help.
Power.
Okay. So since we've subdued, shall we say, I've made her neutral, hence the yellow, and not to, you know, have her automatically blend in with the red enemies that may come forth and attack. So Voss is in yellow, the heroes are in green, and we proceed down the tunnel for miles. Like, guys, easily, like, quite a ways.
You know, I vote that the Proclaimers should be our theme song.
We have walked fights. Miles.
Could arrange that.
The one. Let's have our people talk to them, shall we?
So, we've leveled, mostly. We've walked 5,000 miles just to fall down. Anyway, looking at Vaz's sheet, I mean, she is a woman, half-elven, she's, you know, in her prime. You know, the hike isn't my first choice, but it's not like she's, like, you know, having trouble keep up. You could tell that she's, you know, we've called for a couple of rests, obviously, but she's, you know, she's keeping up well. She's not... not staggering or slagging, as far as you guys can tell with your perceptions. She's not, doesn't seem to be up to anything. And here we are. And then, let's say, sticking with the last perception as you guys are going, Miros, the pressure in your ears, your nose switching, the tunnel up ahead is going soon branch into a bigger space.
Hey, do you I feel that there, lads. They are, she's rushing past the ears, making them poop. You know there's a cavern up ahead.
And sure enough, another 60 feet, as our dark vision catches, we come upon an open cavern.
Called it.
Now, I'm assuming Niles is our light source, and you guys are just in and out with dark vision.
Niles is his own light source.
Yep, yes. My own light source.
But you still have some potions of dark vision on you, don't you?
One.
One. Hold that.
What do you mean you are? What do you mean you are your own light source?
Because I can cast light.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Assuming Niles is the light source.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Vaz has nothing to go on, so she's not going to go more than about 15 feet, 20 feet ahead of Niles. And you guys are just free roam. Although the tunnel opens wide into a sprawling cavern here, it seems even more claustrophobic, for viscous spider webs crisscross nearly every inch of the place. Although Aiden would refuse to play this dungeon, the northern wall, several human-sized lumps in the webs are thickly wrapped in its silk webbing, while the entire floor is covered in sticky goop. What do we do?
Not the sticky goop. Proceed in. Make a perception check. There's a bunch of webs. There's a few creatures that I know make webs.
You're going to need fire.
Going off of your last ones.
Okay.
Right?
We got some torches on us, they're nice.
I do.
Okay, let's fire some of them boys up.
Okay.
I will produce flame on the torches.
It is definitely time to have some real fire. Or just in case. Things tend to jump out of the middle of nowhere and grab at you.
So, we divvy out torches.
Okay.
And I will approach the goo on the ground and have a look at it.
Okay.
I'll be out in front, kind of guarding him.
And what would that be? What knowledge check would that
nature.
Be? Nature.
Nature? Knowledge yeah. nature? I'll take a little swing at that one.
10.
You're assuming it's nature, that these are real spider webs. If they're arcana, perhaps they are something else.
13. Yep, definitely spider webs.
I'll do a knowledge arcana for 18.
Okay. No, they don't seem to have residual magic. They don't seem to be pulled from the plane of spiders and darkness and Willem's darkest fears. It seemed legit. Now, what kind of spider? With a nature untrained of 10, even with a nature trained of 13, I think I'm looking for 15 or more, 20, just kind of go, oh, it's from this type of spider, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, speaking
of... You're not getting anything from me. That's 2 ones in a row.
Oh, get them out of your system now.
Right.
So?
Well, we think there's definitely spiders in this room.
There are spiders in the room. Yes, we know that. So I raise my shield and move forward.
Okay.
I follow tightly behind the Owen.
Right to there.
Okay.
Come get me, spider.
Miros?
I will move opposite of the Owen there.
Okay. Who's got my rope?
I do.
So I'm getting shoved ahead of you?
Nope, you're being pulled behind me.
Okay.
I've got about 10 feet worth of rope, then it's tied around my waist.
Okay. With our stealth and keeping your perception checks, Miros.
Oi.
They're everywhere, but mostly above us. Out of...
How high is the ceiling?
In here?
Yeah.
I believe it's actually hard to tell because there's so much webbing. Okay. You would guess at least 15 to 30 feet high. At least 15. Could go as far as 30, but there's so much webbing up there, it's hard to tell.
Does the webbing catch fire?
You could try igniting some of it, but it's literally everywhere.
Yep.
Anyway, so now they're saying it's everywhere and on everything, but let's say that what the map is showing for webs is something concentrated that you could just kind of shove your torch into, including the adjacent square. So if you want to, right? Ryan.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So he starts burning at a 22 perception on the initiative track. Also waiting stealthily on a 22 with Miros. Several.
Hey.
Several spiders.
They're a bound lads.
Let's start the initiative track. And this one here. Whoops. This one here. See them moving? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Down from the ceiling, peeking out on a thin line below that, 20-foot, 15-foot canopy, and spitting web. Where are we here? Bum, 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 bum. 30-foot web. This thing shoots its web up to 30 feet. So as a move action, I'm going to come forward and down to, say, about 15 feet off the ground and be within... 5, 10, 20. Okay, so I gotta move a little forward a bit more. To be within 15 feet of Miros. And I shoot webs at him. So I'm going to target you. Because, gentlemen, we have a fight. Fight, fight, fight. I don't have any battle music.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, where's my battle music? I mean, this could be battle music. I've got some great cello thunderstruck going on here. That's not the battle music I was hoping for. There we go.
It's not the battle music that we deserved, but it's the battle music that we got.
Oh, you know what? I know I'm doing wrong. I have an entire different board, which automatically has it built in. Okay. To start the battle, I'm going to use my web shooters.
It's Spider-Man.
Yes.
So it's Spider-Men.
Mm. And on your turn, if you'd like to burn an action... And after witnessing what these things look like and how they act, you could determine with a nature check what they are and possibly some ideas on how to combat them a little better. But for right now...
They're susceptible to baitins, I figure.
Everything is. You know that.
Of course.
That's
you need to give it enough baitins.
So this sucker comes down a little bit and shoots web at Miros and misses. Next up, we have the one right next to Theon, who abides him. Sure enough... He, as you say, comes to get you. And, 20 foot, 15 foot, pops down to the 15 foot mark. And, shoots at you, sir. Now, are you flat-footed at the beginning of this round? I don't think so. I mean, you guys walk in warily. You saw the webs. But do the old rules apply about being flat-footed until combat ensues on your first turn? Have we found anything about that yet, Joe?
Yeah, because you have to do your surprise round still.
Surprise rounds don't exist anymore, though, right?
No, they don't, because it's still based on your actions and initiative order and stuff. But
oh, I'll tell you this. I rolled a stealth of 18. If your initiatives beat 18 like Miro's, I get to do a whole round with those people above 18.
Yeah.
And we pop out, right?
Theon can't be flat-footed because he raised his shield.
Yeah, and he literally...
So.
You guys literally came in and went, "Come and get me." So, I think
I smelled the danger.
Yeah, I think we'll for. I think it's yeah. I think I can rule that we'll forego any surprises. I mean,
yeah, we'll call it danger. Oh.
Yeah, anyone coming in, going, "I track on the ground and run over to the body," and then you know that kind of thing. You guys really kind of expected this, so that's fine. So a shot in the dark and a miss, and now we've got other spiders coming to play, looking for targets. Miros again. Shooting you with my web shooter. 19 and a miss. Oh, these guys have horrible aim. Home team is not doing well so far.
No, it's just because we're that badass. It's not that they're doing bad. Their rolls have actually been decent. Mm. But they're just shooting at the wrong people.
Mm. This one moves into position and takes a shot. Also, at Miros, because you're just like literally in the middle of the room, and misses again. Boy, these guys are really sucky.
This is like Matrix time. I was just,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're just like, hey, how's it going?
Unfortunately, Voss isn't standing right behind me because that would just be hilarious.
Well, you lean back and she just takes spiderweb
in the face.
I didn't want to say it. Critical miss goes to shoot at one and has a little trouble. Has web spinner failure, very common amongst middle-aged spiders.
You know, they say one in six spiders suffers from that.
Yeah, it's terrible. And just for that comment, since he is closest to you, he's going to shoot his web in the face to you and hits you right in the face.
Bound to happen.
Finally, I mean, somebody, let's talk about my web trap. A creature hit by my hunting, by this web is immobilized and stuck to the nearest surface until it escapes with a DC of 17. So this sucker kind of like doesn't try to get you in the face. It actually tries to get you in the boots kind of thing. So you can't move around. So you are immobilized.
Oh, no.
And you must use actions to escape.
Ah, no. Okay.
And it's actually your turn.
Okay.
So before I hit you with the actual condition of immobilized,
mm-hmm.
actually, you know what? I should, because they could still incur penalties to those actions. Know what I'm saying?
They could.
So you're immobilized.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about the immobilized condition. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Pull up my screens. By the time I use them, it's only like...
They said that it immobilizes me, does it?
Yes, but... You can't take any action with the move trait. If you're immobilized by something holding you in place, an external force would move you. The force must succeed a check DC, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so basically, just as you can't use any move actions. You can cast spells, you can do whatever you want, or you can try to escape.
Yeah.
So athletics, to pull yourself free with strength, would be a good one. DC 17.
Very good. Aye, okay, but first, before I do that, I'm going to stand and I'm going to ponder at it.
Oh, is it a direct... Fortitude DC, it usually says. Hang on a second. Let me just...
If it's got me immobilized, like if it's anything to do like a grapple, and I've tossed a bit with the grapple from time to time in my past.
Yeah, we're going to go with the fortitude.
Is it what?
Fortitude is part of grapple, and on the screen stocks immobilized using fortitude save. It just gives me a DC 17, so if you want to get out of this, I need a fortitude save.
Yeah, that's not how you break out of a grapple, though.
You're not grappled. You're immobilized with a web.
I make a fortitude check to break out.
According to the screens, you do. It says it's usually fortitude.
Oh, an escape attempt, right?
Is there an escape skill?
No, but to escape, it's page 470 in the core book.
Okay.
I'll flip over to it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Oh, that's not 470. What? Direct, crawl, drop, pwn, escape. You can attempt to escape from being grappled, immobilized, or restrained.
There you go.
Choose one creature, da-da-da-da-da-da. Rather, attempt the check using your unarmed attack modifier against the DC of the effect. This is typically an athletics DC.
Okay. Okay, here. So we were in the right vein, because we talked about... So you have your unarmed strike, or you have your athletics?
Hold on a second. Attempt a check using your unarmed attack modifier against the DC of the effect. This is typically the athletics DC. So,
it gave me a DC of 17. So what's your unarmed against that?
My unarmed would be a plus 11.
Miserol in the chat here is talking about a third option with acrobatics.
Acrobatics.
Yep. And escape action.
I didn't
read
the entire thing.
Unarmed athletics. But the chat is wise. And you want more options, don't you?
I do. So I'm looking at the... Well, I'm just one to...
Wait a minute. Did I just ignore the core book for some rando in chat? Yeah, I did. I'm really tired. So if you want acrobatics, I'm fine with it. Apparently, I've been so mean up until now. 40 episodes of no, Ryan, you can't. Now I'm just going to say, yes, Ryan, please try. Because when you fail and I get to laugh, it's much more satisfying.
Well, no, I just wanted to, it's been a bit, so I just wanted to double check on my assurance skill. Mm. You perform base stress, you can forego rolling the skill check. Instead, you use 10 plus your proficiency. Huh. My proficiency to athletics is 8. Hmm. I would like to use assurance with athletics, giving me an 18.
Now, let's talk about your assurance skill again. What is it?
Yes. It allows me to forego rolling and just gives me 10.
Allows you to take a 10.
Yeah, only I take 10, and I only get to add my proficiency modifier, not my ability modifier.
Okay. And your proficiency modifier is 8?
Yes, because I am an expert in athletics.
Ah.
And thankfully, now at this point, we are level 4.
Remind me not to give up the DC so readily.
No problem.
Take a chance. Okay. But it's cool. You've taken the feats for the to assure you of the skill. I like it.
Boom.
So, spending an action, you break free.
Yeah.
And wish to do what with your remaining two?
I will try to identify the creature using the
spider. Nature.
Ooh, that's a 21.
Also,
nature.
Dungeon. You know, if there's like a dungeoneering kind of thing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, there's no dungeoneering. 21.
Well, let's talk about the hunting spider. You remember a certain class you had back in the deep southern bowels of the mountain where one of the ranger dwarves was telling you about different types of spiders in the dark lands and even in surface caves. The hunting spider likes to spring upon its prey, but not before it likes to trap them by shooting a web trap, very sticky, and will stick you to any surface. Then it likes to spring upon its prey, much like a hunting cat. Also, if you happen to touch its web, that sends a signal right to its very sensitive appendages, and it will automatically skip the hunting and go right to the springing. Also, these little bastards have fangs with nasty damage and a rather nasty venom. Otherwise, they're spiders. Class dismissed. There you go.
Hey, beware their cousins. These are poisonous spiders. They bite you. It's going to be something nasty coursing through you. And won't be no bruise that we be doing. Other than that, right. I'm just going to swing away.
Okay. One action left. You free yourself. You remember your class. You give warning. Oh, wait a minute. Pointing out a crapload of information is probably the same as... I know you can talk for free.
Don't get bit.
For right now, though, because I know that you're burning actions, like you used to have to burn an action to point out like an ambush. You're literally going through a list of everything you know of this creature. Guys, this. It might actually burn your last action. But we'll look into that later. Right now, let's have your last action.
Mountain stance.
Okay. He moves into the stance of a mountain.
That's awesome.
Relay info as an action. Look, I'm taking notes. Look up that stuff later, because apparently I'm supposed to read the book. I don't know. It's a thing that DMs do. I'm looking into it. Vaz. Okay.
Scream.
I do not. That's like profiling and stereotypical behavior. Just because what? I'm your prisoner? Because I feel trapped? I'm manacled? I'm upset. No, I believe I go 1, 2, 3 as far as that rope, a good 10 feet. You know, basically gets out of the battlefield way from everyone and goes on the rope, you know, because I probably only have a 5 or 10 foot lead tops.
Mm-hmm.
Yoink. So I basically get out of the way. Pretty much all I can do. Which brings us to Albrick. Niles, you're on deck. Then lastly, Theowyn. Al, what do you want to do?
Well, that's a good question. It's probably a good place to start. Dropping my signature spell. Never hurts anyway.
Dropping rhymes and...
Yeah, how far away are they all right now?
They are all...
Particularly the two in my...
15 feet off the floor, plus the length of the room. So if you want to go 20 feet away for the one dead ahead of you, and then 15 feet up. And since it's kind of in the 15 feet, you can say it's like 10 feet off the ground. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because you guys stand 5 feet.
Makes sense to me.
It's like, so it's...
I'll spend a full round action casting Heightened Magic Missile.
I think for our purposes, you guys could just add 10 feet to the distance, if this makes sense. Because the top of your 5, and the bottom of their 15, and we're, you know what I mean?
So, 6 bolts of magical energy fly forth from my fingertips.
Who are you going to?
And all of them strike, I will target, medium animal 2. So here we go. 1, 2.
So that's
3.
That's one beside Theon on the 4, bottom of the map.
Yeah. 5, 6.
So you're saying everything goes to 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a total of, that's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 damage.
Okay.
Holy.
It rattles, shudders, and then the legs kind of curl up in that little bunch. It doesn't drop to the floor, but it just starts doing that slow dead spin. And the legs curl up and it shrivels a bit.
And that's my turn.
And there was one less spider for Willems to worry about. Niles.
I move past, striding forward to in between Miros and Theon, and I am going to...
Do tell.
Electric arc. 2 actions. Target 1 or 2 creatures. I'm going to target creature spider number 5 and spider number 1. An arc of lightning leaps from one target to another. I do electrical damage equal to 1d4 plus my...
Okay.
Basic reefs.
Okay, so moving into the room east, we're looking at a cavern that is 10, 20, 35 feet across, and it's kind of pear-shaped. It's a good 50 feet tall, and there's some hints of exits along there, and these things are dropping down the ceiling, and it's sort of a, let's say, a crescent shape around the party. But there are the south side ones dropped. There's 2 more in the dead center. Spider 1 and, you know, spider... this, that, and he's targeting them. Hmm. But now we know they're hunting spiders, so I get to actually...
Oh, look at that.
I get to ID them. Hunting spider 1. And what?
It didn't target it.
Hmm.
Anybody?
Well, you might have to actually cast the spell action. So on the beside the spell, if you click the little magnifying glass...
There you go. Yeah, see, I cast it, but it's not targeting it.
Okay, I've got your targets there.
There we go.
Okay, so... Fantasy Grounds automatically does my saving throws. So you cast Electric Arc at Hunting Spider 5 and Spider 1, and I get a reflex save against a cantrip electricity, electrification, and energy magic. Save DC 28 versus your DC of 18. I rolled a 19 plus 8, 28, no problem. The other one rolls a 2 plus 9 is 11, not so great. So one hits a critical success, one gets a failure. What happens to us, Niles?
Well, on the failure one,
okay,
is 1d4.
Okay.
So he takes a whopping 5 points of damage.
Okay, that'll be hunting spider number 5, or the one that's on the top there.
And I believe a critical success means a no damage.
Sweet. He just like shoves his buddy spider into it. we're very hungry, you know. It's like every spider for himself in here. There's no.
It's like nope.
Yeah.
Let me
get off my line, man. What are you doing, shove? You know, kind of thing. Oh, cool. Anything else, Niles?
No, that's it.
Okay, Theoen.
Let's see. So everything is up off the ground.
Yep.
So I'm gonna have to back up.
They control the vertical.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually. I will stay put, and I will. Is there prepared actions?
Yeah, you can ready an action.
Okay, I'll ready an attack action if one gets within reach, and continue to raise my shield.
Okay, so something does the spring. You're ready to jump.
Yep,
you're gonna spring on their spring.
I'm gonna spring
on the spring. Okay, that, gentlemen, concludes round 1, and we are into round 2. Hunting spider number 1 is going to target. Basically, the bottom spider is going to target Theon.
Okay.
And shoot you with my webs and attacks and does a critical miss. Now, I have 1 action to do this. So it could sit there and just shoot. I had them like coming down, you know, well, I had them stealthily coming down, checking you out and shoot. Now they're kind of in position. It's kind of like a rapid fire. But because this guy, you know, crit missed, I'm going to waste all his other actions. He gets, you know.
Yeah, he needs to make a face, right?
Yep.
He you know, misfired right in front of his friends.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
It is. Yeah. It is. However, the other guy that's sitting pretty, top of the cavern hugging the wall there is just going to open up with a ranged web of 7 on Anvil Bender with a hit. And I'm going to try something. I'm going to take a -4 penalty. Oops, not -8. A -4 penalty. Shoot you again. Miss this time. Anyway, he does a double brap. Try to, like, extra sticky, maybe up the DC by 1 or 2 kind of thing. If I can hit you twice. You know, that kind of attempt.
It is a...
Yeah, but miss it. But...
it's a... right?
No. He misses the second time, but you are stuck with a good old DC of 17 on the first one. He misses the second, and we'll get into springing at you. Something about springing on you, though, is they like to spring on you guys before initiative. So if you guys had wandered in here like idiots and then just suddenly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They like to ambush their prey, as it were. You guys came in here waving fire, went right for the web, and then they reacted. They stealthily quickly got in position, and now they're just like, you know, firing. So you probably don't have to worry about being pounced upon at this point.
Right.
In case you guys want to close with them. I'm just saying, like, according to Muros, you know, that...
They're suspended, though, from the ceiling?
Yeah, they're 15 feet off the ground. But okay. Since you guys, technically, the top of you is 5, there's a 5-foot gap, and we are 15... You know what I mean? Like, we're in that 15-foot space. It's, consider them 10 feet up. You know what I mean? Bunch of webs and... Anyway, he's stuck you there, and I'm happy with that. And he's going to move. I'm going to put him in a position where he gets closer. So even though I'm kind of hugging the wall here, I want you guys to picture the fact that he's like right over top of Miros. He sticks him in place and then goes over, like goes up and over, like climbs his line back up to 5, clings to the 20 feet of goo, and then is over top of Miros. And that's me done. Our next one, these guys see what you can do. I'm a spider. I mean, some things I just don't understand. Flashy magic, something dropping us, killing us, could rattle them. We could be smart enough, or should say wise enough. Not smart enough to know what it is, but wise enough to like, do I really want to bother? Or we could be driven to hunger. Anyway, deciding caution is not in our best interest. It seems that they start to rush you guys. And we have this spider dangling over here, decides to go up, come over. So 5 up, 10, 15, 20, 25, and is above, right above Niles. And just shoots straight down at Niles to try and pin him as well. With a natural 20, critical whip. So what I will say is I will add a +2 to his DC. He really pins you good, so instead of 17 Niles, it's 19. I get you really good. And that's Hunting Spider 4. Hunting Spider 5 is the guy that you nailed. He took damage. He's all shook up. He's not dead like the one that Al hit, but I'm done with you. This thing backs off from you and goes 5, 10, 15, 20, and thinks maybe Theoin is easier prey and will take a shot at Theoin with a critical miss. And he's up above you, sir. And last Hunting Spider, number 6. Oh, these people are crazy. Thinking 3-dimensionally, I'm going to go up 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And again, as if this was right above Al. And I'm going to shoot at Al with my web slinger with a 2 and a miss. Now, these guys look like they're 5 feet away, but I want to picture that they're actually like 10 feet, 20 feet, or sorry, 15 feet above you, because now they're clinging to the 20-foot ceiling, as it were. Actually, no, I guess you could still say they're like 15 feet down. Anyway, and that's you. Miros is immobilized for the moment. What do you want to do, Miros?
Well, I'll use my assurance skill to boost it. No longer am I immobilized.
Mm-hmm. I took the condition off. Go ahead.
Very good. And what I like to do is I've been hauling these javelins around with me since day one. I'm going to take one, I'm going to hook it at spider number 3. Now, quick question. Does thrown weapons use your strength modifier for damage if you happen to hit?
Yes, it does.
Oh, that's good to know.
It should be auto-calculated on your sheet, though.
I just wanted to make sure. I could click my sheet there and make it come off my intelligence if I truly wanted, but...
Oh, you're saying there's a rotary choice?
Of course there is.
Yeah, there's probably feats in the future that lets you switch that. But for right now...
Oh, no, I meant as in Fantasy Grounds lets you modify your stats and stuff.
Oh, that might be above the rule set. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you...
hook a javelin at it.
Right, so pull weapon for an action and throw for a second. For a third, because you athletics your way out. Now, Joe, are we still sticking to that attack action, freeing yourself, athletics check being like an... No. That's more in the move category. I'm not going to penalize you for this throw, even though it's way down your chevrons, as it were. I think you're good.
Oh, that's good to know. Anyways, I mightily throw it there with my plus height.
Okay.
I've targeted. Didn't throw it. 4 plus 8, 12.
12 to hit?
I threw it out of the box here. My bad. 13. Miss.
I'm sorry. And you're down one javelin. Please strike it from your inventory.
Struck.
Yep.
And...
Vaz, oh sorry.
Yeah, I get to move, don't I?
You took the action to demobilize yourself.
Oh no, yeah. Right? So, and then pull up and pull, and then throw it.
Yeah, you're done.
Hi.
Vaz is pleading at Al. You know, come on, you're not gonna help, you know, like we need more firepower, help me. You know. She's low on spells, you never let her study, but I am in no position to help. Anyway, Al is the closest person, so she's basically spending her round pleading with Al through gag and you know, cuffs. Cut me loose, dude. Al's turn. Big Al. Niles, you're on deck. What do you want to do?
I'll look over at her and be like, keep your head down, lass. Keep your mouth shut. Don't distract us. You'll be fine.
Okay.
And I will, with another full round action, laser beam hunting spider 6 with my empowered magic missile.
With my laser. What? Oh, okay.
So, 2, 4, 5...
So bro.
All right. So for a grand total of 21 points of damage.
And the legs curl up.
Hurrah.
And another little spider tattoo appears next to the teardrop on your neck, you know. And that's now when you heighten, it takes you extra actions?
No, because it's my signature spell, but I can so for every action I spend casting magic missile, it fires the missiles. So and heightened doubles the number of missiles. So instead of one missile for one action, you use for every action.
Now, Rob Hammer is one of our more thorough satellite rules lawyers, and he's saying freeing yourself is an attack action. So I'm going to let it stand. You missed anyway, but in future, if you... No, you could pull a weapon, throw it, and then worry about freeing your body. You know, because you can't move. But if you led with the immobilization burn... using athletics, there's some debate going on here that it is an attack action and would hence penalize you, going back to Joel's old rules. Anyway, Al, I got nothing left. Niles.
All right. I am going to cast, since I've been mobilized.
Okay. Care to comment either way? Pro Hammer or pro Messina?
For that, that's for GM ruling on what is classified as an attack option. Because he's using athletics, I don't classify athletics freeing yourself as an attack.
It's escape. You're trying to free yourself from an escape. Anyway, even if it is, even if we look further into this, and we do appreciate chat's comments, I just told you how to work around it. Start with the attack and then do work free yourself after, because it doesn't affect you, you know, doesn't affect your attacks, it affects your movement. Anyway, sorry, yeah, Niles.
That's why I'm not bothering. I'm just going to cast a spell.
Okay.
So I'm going to cast Sound Burst. Which will be cast...
Okay, sorry, because you are immobilized, and again, it's just a movement thing. It's not... does not affect your casting, does not, as far as I can...
Unless he has movement as part of the spell, but it's probably verbal and somatic.
Yep. So I'll be casting it 5 feet away from Theolin, 10 feet up above him, so he's out of the burst. And it is a 10-foot burst, so how do you pin on...
Sorry? How do you ping?
Yeah, so I can show you where I'm. So, beside Throwin, up 10 feet. So it hits 1-3 spiders.
Okay, yes. Okay. So you're... Yeah, I follow you, basically, because technically this is what we're looking at, right? The Throwin spider becomes yellow, but, you know, you get the idea. That there's one adjacent to you up on the right, there's one directly above your head, then there's that one over there.
Yeah, they're all within 10 feet of each other.
That's true.
So if you can target them all, because I'm having a hard time targeting.
Yeah, I can look after that.
Thank you. And when I'm all done, then I will cast my spell.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I'm casting... Because my... excuse me. Sound Burst has a range of 30 feet. Right? And then it has a 10-foot burst. Yep. So I'm not casting it on myself or in the air. So. Now, so as long as they're targeted. So
if you right click, there's pointers and you pick the arrow pointer and you kind of like, oh, look, there's me, there's you, there's this, there's.
I did that and it didn't work.
Well, they can be a bit of a pain in the ass because then it's like you got to hit them again and then erase them. And, okay. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Let's try to cast. There we go.
You're casting Sound Burst.
Yes.
Okay. So, spider number 5, which is down below Theoan or above Theoan, gets a fortitude save, gets a 14 versus 20, and fails. The number 1 that's out in the by the lonesome, out in the yawn there, gets a 17 versus 20, also fails. And the last one gets a success with a 25 versus your 20. So the one in above you actually succeeds. The two abroad do not.
Yep. So for the ones that fail,
mm-hmm.
Take full damage and are also deafened for.
Okay.
And for the one that succeeds, takes half damage.
Now
it's 2d10.
Next to your actual sheet here, chat was reminding us here. Where are we here, Niles? I don't see.
Joe, on your spell. There should be a damage button, and if you click it, it should automatically resolve that.
Yep. So I'm just going through it.
Dude!
That's gross.
Wow! For a
spell. It also, you usually have to open the spell up by hitting little magnifying glasses half the time to get this stuff to work.
Yeah, which I'm now doing. So.
Now, it even says damage 9 to Hunting Spider 4, half, so it is tracking its saving throw.
Yep.
Heavy damage, dying. So this big... hits him with the face, right? And exploding spiders because he just dropped...
Because Caden said so.
Yeah, because he just dropped number 5 and number 1. So, Theoan, with your ready to action, the spider drops towards you.
I will chop it.
Okay. Yes, not letting the curly legs touch any of that fancy armor.
God, no.
Huzzah.
God, no.
But you are no longer... Oh, no, you're still immobilized, Niles, aren't you? And the other one's in rough shape, which brings us down to Theoan at the bottom of the round.
I will... You said there's a spider for me to chop as it falls?
I was making fun of the one he killed over your head.
Oh, I know. I'll take that.
Yeah. Hi-ya! Okay, cool.
Hit it just because it's going by, and there's not a whole lot else for me to do because they're all stuck to the ceiling.
Sure.
31 to bat it.
Okay. You actually chop it in twain, and it's like the two halves, like a coconut, just fall either side of you.
All right.
One falls between you and
I. I feel vindicated.
There we go.
And then I will move forward. 5.
Taking a step.
10. How does Voss feel about being drug as I move? Because remember, she can only stay within 10 feet of me.
5.
How is that going to work?
5'10". Athletics check. Yours versus hers.
Okay.
It'll get beat by the knife ears.
I got a 30 on my athletics.
You win. Stumble. And we will see you next time in the live chat. We were taking a short break. If you are watching this as an upload on YouTube or anywhere else or listening, we will see you next time in 1 week on Dicewise Entertainment Presents Age of Ashes Live, the Elven Portal podcast. Say goodnight, Niles, because spell for spell, Al's got some competition.
Goodnight, all.